In the Epistle to the Hebrews, the first chapter and part of verse 11. The book of the Hebrews, chapter 1 and part of the 11th verse. But thou remainest. But thou remainest. We not only find this fact brought before us in this first chapter, but we also find it in the last chapter. And it is the recurrent theme that so goes through the whole of this book. In the last chapter, we have the declaration, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, the name that was given unto him by the Father, relative unto that work of redemption which he was to accomplish in his own person here upon earth. Christ as the anointed, the sent of the Father for that purpose. And in this wherein those two names are conjoined is the fact of his immutability. Thou remainest. Now, we need to remind ourselves as we come to these words that in this first chapter we have likewise the setting forth of the deity of Christ. In the second chapter, which we have likewise read, we have the perfect humanity of Jesus brought before us. There is the deity of Christ. And it is so proclaimed unto us in two essential declarations in that chapter. We are informed that Christ is Lord. It is in connection with our text. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And the oar shall exode as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Yes, this world is going to be folded up like a scroll. And we are reminded of that fact when we go unto the tomb of our Lord. And we look therein like Peter and John. And we are informed he is not here, he is risen. And they were reminded of what the Lord had spoken unto them. But in looking into the tomb, they saw the linen. They saw that which remained. That which should wax old as doth a garment and as a vesture, shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. And nothing can hold him in that which relates unto his deity. And not only is he Lord, but he is God. Thus it is declared unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So the one of whom our text is speaking is both Lord and God. And I want to make the inquiry in the first place relating unto that glorious fact. Who is this, but thou remainest? Let us then look upon him, whom when everything else has passed away, remains. And we are reminded at first that he is indeed in truth the Son of God. That here is the second person of the Trinity. That here is the one who was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. The one who was essentially one with the Father, and the same as, and that which relates unto that glorious, inconceivable relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit can never be changed. It remains. It was from eternity to eternity. It is in a relationship that can never be measured. Everything else in life, everything else that relates unto the world, can indeed have a beginning. They can have an end. That which has a beginning and that which has an end is according to the purpose of him who was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. Because as we have been reminded concerning him, that it is in him and of him and through him that all things consist. Yes, thou remainest. But as the Son of God, he is the Word of God. What is a word? It is the thought expressed. And here is that which was in the Father expressed in his Son. God hath spoken in ages past and in divers manners by the prophet. But in these last days he hath spoken unto us in his Son. In his Son. That is, he has postulated himself in his Son. Everything that relates unto him, he has made known and has brought into a blessed manifestation in that wherein he declared, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. And of that fullness have we received, and grace for grace. No man hath seen God at any time. Wherein then doth God manifest himself? It is in the person of his only begotten Son. Herein is the Word of God. Herein is the Word which is forever settled in heaven. Herein is the Word. which abideth, which remaineth. Let us remember what our Savior said when he was here upon earth. He said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Thou remainest. Yes, and let us likewise remind ourselves of that fact, that the written and the incarnate word are in all things the same. They do not differ the one from the other. Think for a moment of that which had been foretold by the Holy Ghost, even as he was led into the Word. And so as he so moved the minds of men, and through them so had that transcribing of the will and the purpose of God unto us through the Scriptures, so there was a setting forth before the advent of Christ of everything that was relative unto himself in his coming, in his sufferings, and all that he would endure, the cross, and the resurrection, and the ascension, and his glorification. It's all in the Old Testament, and it's all brought before us. And when he came, there was the sealing of that divine truth. There was the vindication of the eternal word. There is the bringing into truth and into manifestation of that which had been spoken before the world began, but is now made known unto us through the prophets, and now made manifest in the Son. From this we gather some glorious truth. Here is he who is God, God manifest in the flesh. He is indeed the Son of God, but he is also the Son of Man. And oh, in that wherein he combines the two characters, mark you this, not once in the Scriptures do you find anybody referring to him as the Son of Man. He is the only one in the Scriptures that refers to himself as such. He was the alone one that had the authority to do it. Yet he was made like unto his brethren. And being made like unto his brethren, when the fullness of the time had come, he was made of a woman, made under the law. And it was to that end that we might receive the adoption of sonship, that we might be the children of God. Both he that sanctifieth and he that and those that are sanctified are all of one, an indissoluble union. And remember that truth when you read these words, but thou remainest. There is no change, there is no alteration, there is no passing away of that eternal truth in Christ. Christ and his people are indissolubly one, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. Thou remainest. And have thy hope fixed, and thy faith fixed upon him, is indeed the greatest and most glorious work that can ever be operating within your heart. For it is in this that you have that link of that union, that God hath indeed so brought you to know that you have this interest, that you have this relationship unto him in his Son as his dear children. But how is this made precious to us? It is in him as the mediator. Thou remainest. very God of very God, very man of very man. God of man in one glorious person. There is not given, as it were, unto his manhood that which relates unto the attributes of the deity. When he came here as a perfect man without sin, it was that he might be found in your place and in your stead, answering unto the holy and the righteous and the just God for everything that related unto your condition and your state as a sinner before him. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Being God and being man, he can unite blessedly within himself that which related both to the offended and to the offender. He can bring them into a blessed state of reconciliation. There is peace proclaimed between them both. It is in that wherein he has laid his hands upon both and thus brings them into a union, the one with the other. Ah, thou remainest. Again we emphasize the fact that he who hath done this in his own person, inasmuch as he rose from the dead and ascended up on high, has risen in that same body in which he died. There is no change in regard unto that which relates unto the nature that he took upon him. The only change is that wherein it is glorified, that it is no longer subject unto the conditions and the limits of time. No, again and again he appears during the 40 days unto his disciples while he sojourned here, until the time of his ascension. It is in that same body that he hath gone unto his disciples, and he said, Behold my hands and my side, it is I. Yet a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And that is the one who is our mediator, the one who in his own precious death hath wrought into oneness that wherein we were afar off and have now been made nigh. The he who were afar off are brought nigh by the precious blood of Christ. Oh, what a blessed mediator we do possess, that can so lay his hands upon a sinful race and bring them into that position wherein there is imputed unto them that wherein he so stands before his Father as the beloved of his Father, as the darling of his Father. Yes, and think you then that anything shall ever be able to spring or arise out of the purpose or the mind of God unto any casting off of the same? He hated putting away. And that which relates unto your union with him must remain, and it remains in him. Thou remainest. But it is so in his redemptive work. Have you noticed how that we often have those two words spoken relative unto his redemption which he has accomplished for his people? It is eternal redemption. It is everlasting redemption. The two words are used in the New Testament relative unto that wondrous work which he accomplished on the tree of Calvary when he shed his most precious blood. It had an eternal efficacy. That blood is that wherewith his church has been purchased with the blood of God. What power there is in that blood. How it can indeed so overcome and put away all the grievances unto the transgressions, the trespasses, the iniquities, and the sins of every one of his people. It cleanses from all sin. Infallibly, yes, thy sins be forgiven. This redemption which is in Christ Jesus, and as our Redeemer, he has entered into the holiest of all of his own blood. He has within himself the verification of the purchase of this people for himself. Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. You see, their Redeemer, the blood shed, the purchase made, ownership accomplished. Then, infallibly and unchangeably, they are possessed by him. Satan cannot feel it is not a possibility that he shall ever be able to rob him of that which he has purchased with his own blood. No, there is a stronger one than he that has overcome. The one who has indeed now the keys of death and of hell. And thy Redeemer shall indeed so take hold of him and put him eventually into that bottomless pit. Yea, where he shall never trouble nor vex or molest you anymore. Because thou art precious in that wherein he has shed for you his own heart's blood. He could do no more. There was no more that could ever be done. It was accomplished by one of by one perfect sacrifice. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. Yes, this is the one who remains. And not only so, but he is the high priest upon his throne. He is the one who so takes their cases. The one who perfumes all their prayers with his own glorious work. The one who intercedes on their behalf. And the one who deals out unto them that wherein his sympathies and his compassion are continual. He feeleth for thee. He knoweth that wherein the sore trial doth consist. He realizes that wherein the strength of the temptation doth consist. He knoweth the way that his people take. Yes, and he watches over them continually and bears up their case before his Father. And remember that I and my Father are one. And therefore in that wherein he makes his plea before his Father, it is always consistent with the purpose and the mind and the will of his Father. No disagreement between them. He doesn't ask aught of his Father that the Father doth not will to him. No, it is in that wherein this unity, this oneness doth so consist in their very essence, that thy case is made so secure in the hands of thy high priest. Do we wonder then that he is described not only as the one who is at the right hand of the throne of God, of the position of power, but in that wherein it is so declared that he is the high priest upon the throne? He acts in a royal and a regal and a kingly manner, in that wherein he dispenseth those gifts which he hath procured for you. Yes, and for the rebellious also. A wonderful high priest, the one who acted for us in all things pertaining to God. My dear hearer, where there is the entrusting of thy case into his hands, where thou comest in all thy need unto this compassionate and merciful high priest, there is always a reception. There is no turning away. No, he embraces such. He makes their case his own. And that which is relative unto all that relates unto them, he has a sufficiency whereby the whole shall be met out of his own glorious resources. I love that passage in Nehemiah, where in connection with the building of the temple, it is declared that the expenses shall come out of the king's house. They will all be met by the king. Yes, everything that appertains unto you is met by him in that glorious high priestly office. And not only so, but if he is such, then he, in his glorious deity and in his glorious manhood, that wherein he so reigns as the Lamb of God, in the center of the throne, is the one who is thy Savior. God will provide himself. What a wonderful sentence that was, that was spoken by Abraham unto Isaac, relative unto the provision of the Lamb for the sacrifice. God will provide himself. Here is thy Savior. Here is the one then who is able to save unto the uttermost, eternally, all that come unto God by him. Yea, doth thou come unto him? Why doth thou come unto him? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They belong to him. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Yes, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And let us not remember one other fact that we are reminded of in this epistle concerning him, and that is that he is the judge of all. The judge. Yes, in that wherein he remaineth, it is that he shall judge the world in righteousness. That day will come. Then his appearing shall indeed be made a blessed reality. And then in his judgment, he shall set on his right hand all them that are his. and he shall set upon his left hand all them that do not belong to him. The judge shall pass the sentence. Have you that sentence? Do you know anything of it within your own heart? You know it's according to this. He that believeth upon him shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Thou remainest the truth in Jesus. But in connection with this fact, we have the opening up for this further truth of his omnipotence. You've read about that tonight. Of his sovereignty. Of his eternity. Of his immutability. He is all this in himself. You can read about it when you get home once again. Meditate upon it. And this is the one in whom the cause of his people is secure. That's why we have this second chapter, as it were, running out of that which is contained in the first chapter. It is as though we are brought to the fountain, and then we are brought to drink of the streams that flow therefrom. And as I have said in my prayer, dear enemy, thou, Christ, art all I want. More than all, in thee I find, but thou remainest. What a comfort then this is. It's a comfort to the heirs of salvation. It's a comfort to them to know that there is no change in him, whatever their own feelings may be. It's a comfort to them to know that he remains according to his word. That even as he has fulfilled it, so his word and its promises, in all that he speaketh unto his people, must have their fulfillment. Yes, even unto the bringing of every one into glory. But it is from generation to generation thou remainest. It is not well for us, as it were, to look back, and we so oft times do, to previous times and say the times were better than they are today. Yes, they may be in one sense. But you know, thy God is still the same. He changes not. He remaineth. Yes. And as we pause and think upon that, we remember that his love still remains. That his atoning blood still remains. Yea, and that his just divine righteousness still remains. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming walls in these arrayed, when joy shall I lift up my head. When this world shall pass away, thou remainest, and all them that are in him remain. And do you know anything of it in your own life's experience? Have you the evidence of your interest in this? Then you will find it in your soul. Inasmuch as he is the life of your soul, and the light of your soul, and the guide to your soul. He alone can keep your soul in life. He alone can give to you the light of understanding. He alone can guide you in his counsel enough to receive you to glory. For it is in this that he'll bring you to the throne of grace. And there at the throne of grace he abides, and you shall find the comfort of the Scripture, and you shall know the context of grace, and you shall prove the preservation of all his people who are kept by the power of God and the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Though time forbids that we pursue the subject further, but let us remember that there is the proof of the meaning. Thus you find the proof in his resurrection. You find it in his glorification. You find it in the condemnation of the wicked. You find it in the justification of the righteous. When the work of grace is done, partner of my throne shall be. Say, poor sinner, that is salve. You know, when death comes to us, if he delay his coming, and everything is taken from us, nothing abides but him, thou remainest. What a glorious ingathering that was for Lazarus, who lay at the gate of that rich man and knew not misery and wretchedness all his life long. That you're not told a word about it. It is insignificant within us. But the great thing is that there was a convoy of angels. So to convey its spirit into the bosom of Abraham, he is a child of faith. Have we that faith in him? Who is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Remember, when everything at times seems to go wrong, when everything seems, as it were, to almost come to a place where you are in utter despair and hopelessness, remember what the gospel is, has to tell you in and through Christ Jesus. And the message is this: but thou remainest. Amen.